Welcome to the InfoQ Culture Podcast. I'm Manuel Paes, and I'm the head of DevOps coverage at InfoQ.com, the software engineering website. This is the second of a mini-series of podcasts we're doing focused on DevOps. Today I'm speaking with Rosalind Radcliffe. Rosalind is a distinguished engineer and chief architect for DevOps for enterprise systems at IBM. She focuses on client transformation and adoption of DevOps practices. Rosalind, welcome to the podcast. Would you mind telling us a bit more about yourself and what you do at IBM?
Thank you, and I'm happy to be here. As you said, I'm a distinguished engineer at IBM, and I'm responsible for our DevOps for Enterprise Systems transformation, building our product portfolio and helping clients. So what that means is I help drive our product direction to make sure our products and tools help our clients with their DevOps transformation, as well as helping our internal DevOps transformation. So moving our development teams that are doing COS development to a DevOps model. And then I really spend most of my time with clients, helping them understand how the entire enterprise, from their large-scale systems of record all the way through their mobile devices, can be part of their DevOps transformations.
And in these clients, besides slow time to market, what are some other common pain points when they try to adopt DevOps?
Yeah, DevOps really is a cultural change. And one of the biggest problems has been, especially in large-scale companies, they have quite a lot of their practices that have been exactly the same for a very long time, especially when we talk about the enterprise systems, those systems of record. They have been doing development identically for a very long time. And so the practices are slow. The practices don't help improve delivery. So not only is it slow response time, but it's not as high a quality as it could be. And, you know, they're still doing waterfall development, and they've got all of these practices that interfere with their ability to deliver function. And in addition, there is an aging workforce. So more of the developers on the enterprise side have been there for a long time, and they're getting to the point where it's time to retire. And so we need a development practice and a set of development practices that allow us to bring in younger developers into the environment as well.
So we're talking, to be specific, often about mainframe systems, is that right?
Yes, most customers or all large-scale customers have mainframe systems. And in those environments, in a large financial, large insurance, they all have these systems, and they need to improve those development practices, and they need to be able to take advantage of the newer developers coming out. And there's no reason you can't do test-driven development and all those other practices. They just haven't been there. And so it's very different and harder for the kids that are coming in to do development in these environments.
Right. So playing devil's advocate here, why should we care about evolving the way we deliver software in mainframe if the underlying technology hasn't fundamentally changed in the last 30 years?
So it's important to recognize that the Z systems, or the mainframe hardware, is probably, or is, the most modern platform that we have today. The hardware itself has been evolving over the years and has the latest processor chips, has significant effort put into the systems to make it highly reliable, highly secure, support modern encryption requirements. And so these systems have modernized over the years. The issue is that many applications have not been updated to take advantage of all of the capabilities that we've put in the system. However, those applications still have a lot of business value. And just because an application was written 30 years ago does not necessarily mean there's anything wrong with the application. What we need to do is improve and modernize that application and take advantage of all the latest and greatest changes that have happened in the hardware, well, over the last 30 years. All those improvements ensure the reliability, the stability, and the security that businesses need today. In the platform, there's built-in encryption. If you think about that, having the capability to secure all of your data, secure your data as you're using it, is a key critical part of today's business. The Z system has been certified as a most secure system. It's providing security for lots of different environments. It's used by financial institutions, et cetera, because of that security and that reliability. I mean, there are systems that have been up for the last years in, I don't know, maybe 27, because they've never had to come down because of the reliability built into the Z system and the ability to update the system without taking it down. So you can just keep them up and running. So in with that kind of hardware, with that kind of stability, it's critical that we move the development practices and operations practices to modern practices so that we can take advantage of all that capability delivering business value at the speed business requires today.
So I do think businesses haven't been trying to adapt those applications to this modern hardware. It's not a technical question, is it?
No, it's not a technical problem. It's a cultural problem. And it's a process problem. Over the years, ITIL or ITIL or however you want to pronounce it, the processes around ITIL have evolved. In order to reduce risk, what they've decided is to reduce the number of deploys to production. They've put a lot of processes in place to limit how things are done, which really isn't the way to improve the quality of the system. But those processes have been there so long, it's just the way it's done. Development has been done the same way for the last 30 years. So that's just the way it's done. And all of the modern practices, such as test-driven development, such as test early, such as, you know, an automated pipeline, all of those things haven't been brought to this platform. And so that's why it's so old in a sense. That's why the applications haven't evolved, because it's a lot harder if you have to do all manual testing and you don't have enough test environments. And I mean, all of the old waterfall problems are still going on. And so we need to modernize. And it's all about culture. It's all about a cultural transformation in the way people use this system.
So there are no concrete obstacles to those modern practices like test-driven development, refactoring, automated provisioning. So you believe those things can be done in mainframe just like in other systems?
There's absolutely nothing about the mainframe system that means you can't do any of those practices. There are some modifications depending on how you're going to do certain things, but test-driven development applies. You can have a fully automated pipeline. You can provision environments so that you can have the testing, automated testing that you need to. So all of those practices are just the same. The key difference in many ways is as you go through the pipeline, generally, you're going to end up deploying into a shared system at the end. But that doesn't mean you don't have an automated pipeline and you can't deploy to isolated systems when you're doing development. There's nothing about the system that says I can't do code coverage and I can't. The tools and practices are all available on the platform. The problem is people are using development tools and tools that were built in the 1980s for 1980s practices. So if you're using a 1980s library manager, it's a lot harder to do DevOps. You need to adopt the modern tools and modern practices.
So speaking specifically about automated provisioning and isolated environments, that seems to be one of the concerns that I hear about, delivery pipelines and automated testing with mainframes, because they're traditionally constrained because of their cost in terms of resource usage. How do you overcome that and get those isolated environments for testing?
Yeah, the mainframe has a different cost structure. And one of the problems is the mainframe is seen as expensive in many cases because, well, it's one number. You put all the costs together and you kind of roll them up. In the distributed space, you don't generally see the number together. It's spread out all over different things. And so that one big number does seem to imply it's more expensive. But if you look at what you're actually running on the system, then Z can be the most cost-effective platform. However, when it comes to doing dev test environments, the Z platform has had some issues, many organizations, because they want to use all of the available capacity and make it available for production. Well, if you want to do that, then what are you going to do with DevTest? And so what we have is something called ZDNT, or Z Developers Development and Test Environments. That capability allows you to run true ZOS, so it's a true Z operating system, along with all the middleware, Kix, IMS, DB2, MQ, all of the products on Intel hardware. And so you can use your existing cloud provisioning environment and provision ZOS LPARs just like you provision a Windows machine or a Linux system. And because of this, I can have a standard DevOps pipeline with ZOS as part of it. And for all my dev and test, I can do those using ZDNT. And then as I move into my system integration test, performance scalability test, I do that on real Z hardware. Because obviously, ZOS running on Intel hardware is not going to perform anything like running on real Z hardware. But from a development standpoint, it works just fine. And it's not an emulated ZOS. It's emulated Z hardware. So it's a real environment. It's the real operating system, SMPE installable. So it makes it, so there is no more issue of it. I don't have the capacity. I have as much capacity as I want to provision in a cloud environment.
And how does, you know, the idea of infrastructure as code fit in this scenario? Would you try to apply that idea for the Intel-based virtual machines that you're going to use for testing and other activities in the pipeline?
Yeah, infrastructure as code is an interesting concept that's come out and is discussed a lot in the distributed space. But in many ways, we've been doing that forever on ZOS. It doesn't look that way, and people don't see it that way. But most everybody runs a job in order to do something on ZOS. So people don't go in and configure something on the system, they run a job and it does it for them. So really, we've been writing scripts or jobs to do all the automation for all of the infrastructure forever. But what we've tried to do over the last number of years is make this more like the distributed space. So it's more consistent with what you might see as infrastructure as code on other platforms. But we want to do exactly the same thing with ZOS. Every system level change you're going to make, you want to have that done in an SCM manageable form so it can be built if necessary and it can be deployed through automation tooling for both the ZDNTs running on Intel hardware as well as the ZOS system running on real Z hardware so that I can have a consistent pipeline. It can do the same kinds of things. It can provision my Z resources and then it can provision my application into that environment.
Sounds interesting. So we've discussed that there are no fundamental technical issues to adopting DevOps, even in a mainframe platform. And if we go back to the idea of this speed of delivery being different for different kind of systems, you know, some people call it bimodal IT or multi-speed IT. How do you think that relates to mainframe? I mean, typically, a lot of people will look at mainframe as a slow-changing applications versus, you know, kind of DevOpsy, fast-changing applications for web and systems of engagement in general.
So the concept of bimodal IT is something I'd like every organization to understand. It doesn't work. It doesn't work, and it doesn't make sense. There's no need and there's no reason to have bimodal IT because there's nothing about a system of record that says it has to be slower than any other system. And it's really important to recognize that there is absolutely nothing that says your system of record should be slower. Now, your system of record should go at the speed required for business. So I call it multi-speed IT. Because realistically, if you have a set of APIs, you may not have to change them as fast as your front-end mobile app that you want to change just so you've got an app update, so users get the app update. So there is a difference between some of the sets of services, but that doesn't mean that the system shouldn't be able to move as fast. So if I need to make a business rule change, I should be able to do that as fast in my system of record as I do it in my system of engagement. However, I might not need to. The best example I use is a calendaring service. Every large-scale organization has a calendaring service. They have this function. Except, well, last time I checked, we're still using the Gregorian calendar. So that service doesn't change very often. It changes when they need to provide a new interface to it, or when governments decide that daylight savings time is going to move, or a new federal holiday appears. Basically, it doesn't change very often. So that service doesn't need to change very often. But my fraud detection system, that's running on a critical back-end system. That's a critical environment. I may be changing that all the time, and I need to get those changes out right away based on current business trends. So, you know, there are two sides to this. Both of them systems of record. They're going to move at the speed business requires.
Right. I think that is, we've established that that is something which is possible. I have the impression that the problem is, in practice, organizations are focusing on the systems of engagement and their mobile web systems to go faster, and they only realize once those systems require changes from the backend, like you were saying, which it might be less often, but when that happens, they realize, oh, actually that the backend and the mainframe can't change as fast because they have not put in place the modern practices to do that. Do you see that happening in your experience with clients, or not really?
Well, I see it happening whenever somebody believes the concept of bimodal and tries it. If they really try to do this, they end up in worse shape than they were in the beginning because they're moving the front end so fast and they're just waiting for the back end systems. Because there are very few front end changes that don't, in a sense, if there's a business change that needs to happen, that business change is going to happen in the system of record. And so either you work around it, which a lot of people do, so they build secondary systems or they build different systems in order to try to get around the fact that their back-end system is slow, or they do it right and they invest in the modern pipeline, and then they can make those changes that they need to much faster, and they don't duplicate code, and they don't cause themselves all the other problems that they can cause. Those companies that have transformed and understand that they're Z system needs to be as agile as everything else are seeing those business values much faster. They're seeing the rewards. And lots of people looking at the Z system, you can provide a service that can scale a whole lot better running on Z than trying to implement it somewhere else and then trying to figure out how to scale it out.
In terms of the organization of clients you work with, do you see them organized by kind of the technological platform, like web versus mobile versus mainframe? Or do you see some clients with a different structure, which is more business oriented, and then you have to have development teams with people who can work on those different technology platforms, but within the same team?
For those companies that have started down this transformation path, many of them are breaking down the silos between the infrastructure types. And so they are transforming. Nationwide being an example company that allows us to talk in the public about their transformation. They brought Z and distributed together. So they get the value of this transformation, bringing the teams working together more closely. Many heritage teams have many silos. So they'll have a mobile tier, they'll have a mid tier, and they'll have a back end, and they'll have that for development, and they'll have that for operations. And so you end up with brick walls and silos all over with different teams responsible for different parts. And all that does is slow down the process. Even if there isn't a back-end system, if you just think about many organizations where this team is responsible for networking, this team is responsible for security, this team is responsible for mobile development, and then somebody else does the web, forget it. It takes way too long because there are way too many handoffs. DevOps is all about breaking down those silos. And as we break down those silos and get rid of those handoffs and remove the waste, we significantly improve the processes and the businesses gain the value out of that.
You painted a picture there, which is quite interesting, kind of that extreme where, you know, we have separation between dev and ops, and then within each of those, you have the technological separation. I think in mainframe DevOps, or specifically for mainframe DevOps, besides bridging the gap between dev and ops, seems to be also important to bridge the gap between those different technical platforms. Do you agree? Or
that's absolutely true. We need to break down the wall between the Z development shop and everyone else.
Right.
And mostly it has become Z and everyone else, because most everyone else has started down this DevOps path. Most organizations are already starting to adopt pipelines to adopt this transformation. And the biggest problem I see is that in many of these DevOps transformations, there's a little line at the bottom that says mainframe excluded or Z excluded. And so they're leaving that development and operations organization out of all of this transformation. And it just makes the process worse. It just makes it harder to do what they're trying to do within the organization. And so those that are most forward thinking are removing that line and are going, no, Z is going to be part of the transformation. And that's what I spend a lot of time with clients on, understanding that there is no reason for having that little line that says mainframe excluded. Really, just think about it as an organizational transformation. Different parts of the organization have different challenges, and you may need to improve different areas first, but the mainframe needs to be part of it.
And in terms of the teams themselves, do you see, you mentioned earlier the question of the mainframe workforce kind of being more aged than other platforms, and so that there is a need to kind of have a refresh the workforce. But do you see any other fundamental differences between how delivery teams work in mainframe versus other technologies?
Most of the differences come from that heritage, come from the fact that they haven't been doing modern development practices. So they're still doing waterfall. They don't have a lot of automated testing. They aren't doing code coverage in their testing. They aren't building unit tests. All of these things are totally different. They have a very static tool chain. So the tool chain in many companies has been there for the last 30 years. And it's one product, and it sits there, and it's a library manager, and it does the build, and it does the deploy. And it's just one thing. And then the system programmers work around it to do all the other parts. So not only is it the people that are mature, the process is a very mature, old process that does not facilitate the way we want to do development today. So it really is, this transformation has to be all the pieces of the transformation, new tools adoption, modern practices, and bringing in younger developers. And I'm 30 years in the business, so I've been around for a little while. So I actually fall into that gray-haired old guy kind of picture too. But so I'm not trying to pick on the fact that, you know, we're in our 50s and 60s. What it is it's whether or not you want to transform. And a lot of people who've been doing this for so long and are so close to retirement, it's like, why bother to change? But there are quite a few of these people like me who actually want to learn and want to change. And so it really isn't totally just an age thing. But if you bring in a bunch of younger people alongside of the existing knowledge base, then you've got the best of both worlds, because you've got this heritage skill that really does understand your business. They understand the business rules. They understand banking or insurance or whatever business you're in. And then the new guys understand more of the modern development practices. Bringing them together can help this transformation significantly.
Another aspect that Jin Kim, our previous podcast interview, he mentioned is regarding outsourcing of the IT workforce. And he says it's still a common challenge in large organizations that outsource a lot of their IT work to then adopt DevOps. Do you see that problem also in the mainframe space specifically?
Yeah, I think outsourcing is a problem for everyone. And it depends. Sometimes it's outsourced of the IT side or the ops side, and sometimes, in a lot of cases, it's outsourced developers. And so you're hiring contract developers to do a set of work for you, both in the Z side as well as the distributed side. And so, yes, that makes it harder. But honestly, as I've been talking to many clients, if we can get a good DevOps pipeline in place, with all the rules, with all the requirements, then actually the stuff you're getting from the outsourced organization can go through your quality checks a whole lot faster. They can go through the code scans, the code rules. Doesn't matter the language. They can go into the pipeline much faster, and you'll have better quality code from your outsourcers no matter what platform they're building for. The same is true from an operations standpoint. I think from a DevOps standpoint of breaking down the silos, we have some of these silos that are going to be harder to break down because they are outsourced or because you're using a cloud provider. Someone's going to keep the systems up and running. And that some group might actually be an outsourced group. So you have to figure out the ways to collaborate with that group to make sure that you're not causing waste and you're not causing delays. But with a true pipeline, everything being automated, then there's less opportunity for these boundaries to cause problems.
And one last question. You will be speaking at the DevOps Enterprise Summit in London in early June. Could you give us a sneak peek into the transformation stories you're going to be sharing at the conference?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the session. I'm going to be speaking with another Z development organization about their transformation as well. But from IBM side, we're going to talk about a couple of different examples. One is our development tool chain and how we have transformed all of the development tool chain, more than just development tool chain, actually, all of our Eclipse-based tools that deal with the Z system into a common pipeline, into a common set of practices, into a common way of doing testing, et cetera. Not only common, but it's actually the same. So we have an Aqua pipeline that 17 different products are currently on. And so they go through. They've got all the automated testing. We can ship them monthly because of this. So we've significantly improved our processes. Some of these products we weren't shipping, but once every 18 months or so. And now, every month, we can deliver new function, new value, fixes, whatever is appropriate. Another example is our Kix team. And the Kix team has been under transformation since 2005. And they've done an amazing job of truly modernizing their practices even before DevOps was DevOps. And at this point, they're actually a team that I use as an example because they're the ones that admit they still have a long way to go, but they're really actually far ahead of many different organizations because they have a fully automated pipeline. They're able to do testing very quickly, and they're really bringing value. One, internally to help other teams understand and understand how to do this transformation, but two, in delivering value to clients a whole lot faster. They're both fun stories and I'm looking forward to sharing them.
I'm also looking forward to attend the session. So thank you very much, Rosalind, and it was a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you.